Are we're going to delve into this topic of blessed once again. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 28, and we have a number of verses we'll be looking at today, and so I want you just to turn there. We'll be referring to other verses as well, but that's where the meat of our lesson will come this morning here from Deuteronomy 28. Last week we began this series and we were digging into this topic of blessed. And we began with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and how that God had said over Abram, that I'm going to make a blessing out of you, and you shall be a blessing, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. All the nations of the earth, all the people groups of the earth will be blessed through you. And it almost seems like, how is that even possible? How could this thing happen? But we understand that God had a plan. He had a plan God began working through the nation of Israel and the establishing of that nation. But that was the vehicle for which God would bring about His Son, Jesus, into this world. Jesus, who came to save His people from their sins. God, who had so loved the world that He gave Jesus, then that whosoever believeth, not just the Jew, but also the Gentile, the non-Jewish person. And this gospel has spread over all the world. And the truth of it is that in Jesus Christ, you and I have become a part of the family of God through Jesus Christ. There is one body, there is one church, there is one Lord, there is one Holy Spirit. There's not multiple of those, there's only one. And through Jesus Christ, you and I are united together. And I would say to you, just as God blessed in Abraham for a specific purpose, you and I are also blessed. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 says that it tells us that for all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now, isn't that wonderful that we are a part of the promise of God? We are grafted in through Jesus Christ into the blessed. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We are the household of faith. We are the people of God. And for all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. Would you say that with me? All the promises of God in Him, who is that, Christ, are yes and amen in Him. And so we are excited about that. We're talking about that. We also mentioned last week 1 Peter 2 and 9. 1 Peter 2 and 9. Let's read this together. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Notice that. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. And so, thanks be unto God that His promises are yes. His promises are amen as it regards those who are in Christ Jesus. Now that is the key to this. And last week we talked about how that we have been positioned for blessing in Jesus Christ. And we have been blessed to be a blessing. Would you say that with me? Blessed to be a blessing. Say it again. Blessed to be a blessing. Now let's add this declaration and say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Look at your neighbor and tell them that. I'm blessed to be a blessing. This is important for us to look at today. And I want to draw your attention to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy of the Old Testament, of the Old Covenant. And in this particular chapter of Deuteronomy 28, we really see this covenant and how that this covenant that God has with His people. And it states some wonderful things regarding us. So this morning we're going to look at this word blessed and this whole idea of being blessed. And we're going to look at the depth of it. We're going to look at the width of it. We're going to look at it in a more expansive way today to understand that the promises of God. We understand in the context of Deuteronomy 28, he's giving a special message to the people of Israel who are followers of him, of Jehovah God. Now you and I, there's so many things written to us in the Old Testament. We must understand, though, that the reality of who God is, God doesn't change. Now, we are under the new covenant in Jesus Christ, but we also understand that God is the same, that God hadn't changed who He is. There's no such thing as an Old Testament God and a New Testament God. God is the same. But we have come under the new covenant in Jesus Christ, and He has made for us His purpose and His plan to unfold in our lives as we are obedient to Him. And so we don't just have blessings just piled on us and in disobedience to God. He wants us to live in obedience to Him. This is the way in which He wants us to live. And I want us just to look at a few things here from Deuteronomy 28, beginning with verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey. I want you to notice that right off. This is a blessed person right here. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord our God. So if you want to underline anything there, you see the word obey. Obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments. So I see obey there. I see observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today. Remember this, the greatest of all commandments. We understand in light of Jesus Christ. We understand that Jesus said that, restating what the Old Testament had said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, with all thy might. We're to love Him. We're to not put any other gods before Him. It is Him and Him alone, God. But we understand that no man cometh unto the Father, God, except through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. So we understand. And we interpret the Old Testament based on the New Testament. We understand this based on what Jesus has said, what the New Testament teaches us. And so when I look to this passage, I understand that I am a person. I am the blessed of God. I'm a holy nation. I'm a part of that redeemed people. This passage, there's so much in here, though it in its context was originally written to the people of Israel who were following Jehovah God, because God has not changed. There's things that He's saying in this passage to you and I. Does everybody understand where we are so far? Say, oh me, I don't know. Here it's saying, though, He's saying obey. He's saying, we see these words obey and observe His commandments, which I command to you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So we just notice that. We're hearing His voice. We're obeying His voice. We are loving Him.
That's what's being taught us here. That's what a blessed person does. Blessed people hear the voice of God. They observe Him. They obey Him. They love Him. That's what the blessed person should do in Jesus Christ. Notice again here, verse 2, I want you to see the blessed life. The blessed life. And Kayla, you may have to just toggle between some screens when I, as I make a point and go back to the scripture. But in verse 2, we're talking about the blessed life. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Notice that. I mean overtake you. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. I just want you to see that. Being overtaken by the blessings of God. Overtaken. So we're blessed people. We have He desires for us a blessed life. We understand in verse 3. I want you to look to verse 3. It says, "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country." So we're also blessed wherever we live. Would you say amen to that? The Andersons right here have lived in a number of places. You're blessed wherever you live. You know, that's the thing about God is the same, isn't He? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So wherever you are, the place where you are, whether it's in the city or whether you're in the country, He has not changed. He's saying, you are blessed in the city and in the country. That's beautiful. So we're blessed no matter where we live, no matter where we're staying. That's good news for us. And then verse 4, "Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground." Now this is where I want you to see that you're blessed in your work and business. Okay, this is, if you're making notes, you're blessed in your work and business. "Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herbs, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks." Down to verse 8. "The Lord will command the blessing on you to your storehouses, and in all to which you set your hand, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Verse 11, "And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you." So I want us just to see there, though, but that God has not changed, and He still wants to bless you in your job, in your employment, in your business, in the work of your hands. He wants He's saying here, His blessing is upon you. And so may we grab hold of that today. Verse 5. "Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl." Now, I don't know how many people use a kneading bowl this morning. But what I want us to see here in verse 5 is that we are blessed in our everyday needs. Look at that. 5. "Blessed shall be your basket," where Jesus taught His disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Here we just have it in descriptive language where He says, Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. So it is a blessing in our daily needs. Verse 6, "Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." There it's really just saying that is just everyday blessing. That's going in. That's going out. That is me being blessed in everyday life. I'm going in. I'm going out. I'm coming. I'm going. There's many places that I've got to go and people that I will see. There's things that I've got to do that here he's saying, in your going in and your going out, he's reminding his people here that they were blessed. And I'm claiming that passage. Would you claim that passage with me? These promises of God are yes and amen. Verse 7. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Now that's interesting, isn't it? They come in one way, and man, it is getting out of there. One way or another. But what we see here is a blessing in our battles, in our daily battles, and we see a blessing for victory in our daily battles. But how many know there are battles? There was battles then. There's battles now. Mentioned last week. That we're not talking about a life of blessing that doesn't have difficulty, that doesn't have its challenges, doesn't have sometimes when you feel weak and you're leaning on the strength of the Lord. It doesn't mean you're not blessed when you feel a sense of weakness, but we understand the scripture that says, when I am weak, He will make me strong, and He will be my strength in the midst of my weaknesses, and He will battle for me. He will come in and He will scatter the enemy out of my life. As all of these things I'm telling you are based upon living a life of obedience, living a life where we are in line, in alignment with God through Jesus Christ. Everything I'm saying to you. You can't understand this in a proper way if you leave out Jesus. If you're just somehow wanting to cling to these verses as some kind of rabbit's foot and then live any way you want to, you don't understand this. If you want to cling to these as you would a fortune cookie, won't do you any good. You can't cling to this as some kind of good sayings as a horoscope. Everything we're saying to you and the hand of God's blessing upon us has to do with Jesus Christ. Has to do with Him. What did you say? I just want to say His name. Say Jesus. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like the name of Jesus. I want to just glorify Jesus today. I want to declare Jesus today. Because He is the one whom it's all about. It's about Jesus. So let's grab hold of the reality of Jesus. And that's where these blessings are yes and amen, is because of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 12. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Again, he's speaking there of the nation of Israel and what his plan is for them. But we also see that we can hold to the promise of God and how it would be applicable to our life, and how that the Lord would open up His heavens and open to us His treasures in our life and bring blessing to our life. If it's in agriculture or if it's in some other manner, We need the Lord's blessing. We need His hand. We need His touch upon all that we're doing. And in here we see how the blessed live. We live with the heavens open to us. Aren't you thankful for that today? You don't live to a closed heaven. You're not living your life with being shielded from what God has in His storehouse. That's not what's going on here. In Philippians, Paul said, and God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Don't you see how all of this just kind of links together? But it's all connected to Jesus. The heavens are open to us because of Jesus. I love to say it this way, that by virtue of the shed blood of Jesus, I can even call God my Father. See, I can't even accurately and really I don't have any way to approach God except through Jesus, except through Him. That's why it cannot be just general religion in this world that we espouse to. It can't be just a generalization of I love God. But it's got to come through the Lamb of glory. It's got to come through Jesus Christ, the one who was and is and who's going to come back again. It is through Him who was born as a babe in Bethlehem, conceived of the Holy Spirit. It is Him who lived a sinless, vicarious life. It is Him who died on a cross for our sins, taking upon Himself everything that we ever did. It was in Jesus that He rose from the grave on the third day, giving us victory over sin, hell, death, and the grave. It is in this Jesus who ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding, praying for us every day. It is in this Jesus who shall return just as He ascended. He will come again and hear and in the second coming of Christ. You see, that's where everything's got to be based upon. And our understanding of blessing has got to be understood in light of Jesus Christ. Verse 13. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only. And what I want you to see here is that He has blessed us to live in the above life. The above life. And not be beneath. Notice that. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. He desires for us to live an above life. Above the base and sinful things of this life. He wants us to live the above life, where we lay up treasures in heaven, where rust can't corrupt it, like they would do in this world, where the possessions and things of this life can get corrupted by moths, the Bible says. And thieves can break in and steal the treasures of this life. But He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So in light of all of this, what I want us to understand is that the blessed life is a life of generosity. The blessed life, ultimately, because He not only, He said, I will bless Abraham, He said, but He said, you shall be a blessing. And what the Lord wants us to understand is, again, that truth. That we are blessed to bless. That we are to be a channel by which this world can be touched, by this world can be ministered to. But if we are merely laying up for ourselves treasures on this earth, it'll be fleeting, it'll be gone, it'll be wasted, it will turn to nothing, it's not worth anything. At the end of, in fact, what your wealth or what your possessions got you while you were in this earth, and that's all. If that's all it's about, then it really is lost. But when we invest our time, when we invest our talent, when we invest our treasure in the things that will be a blessing to those around us and be a blessing in His kingdom, be a blessing to God's Word, and a blessing in other people's lives. When we do that, we are laying up treasures in heaven, and there we will find something of eternal value. It will not be temporal like everything else is in this world. Thanks be unto God for that. Now we can see it. I just want to point briefly to in Acts chapter 2, because we have a very good example for us of living a life of generosity when we turn to the book of Acts. When we see the early church at work, here's the model for us. The true model for us is not what somebody else did at some point in human history. Because the reality is, the Word of God is what trumps every generation. So we understand things by the written Word as how God directed the first church, those that were eyewitnesses of His majesty, and how they had set up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Word of God was written, and God saw fit to include these things in His Word regarding us. And so that's why in the year 2017, we still turn into pages of this book and see what the first century church did as it was related to the book of Acts and the epistles and prison epistles and the pastoral epistles, and we look to the New Testament. So Acts chapter 2, we look here at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So I want us just to see there how that the early church believed in blessing. They didn't believe in hoarding. They believed in blessing. Notice there it said, as anyone had need. It wasn't just it wasn't socialism in the classic sense of just everybody just put everything in the pot and everybody gets something equal. No, we read the New Testament. We read of people who had need, and we have read of people like Joseph of Arimathea, who was rich and a disciple of Jesus Christ, who gave the Lord his tomb. He just loaned it to him when he died on the cross, because he only needed a loan of his grave, because he wouldn't need it later. It was only going to be needed for 3 days. Isn't that awesome? You don't need that. Don't need that plot, but for 3 days. But what I'm saying to us, what it says here in the context, as that we consider one another and we distribute to those who have need. But what I want us to see here is there is a generous spirit. There's a generous heart among this early church. There's the example for us and how they are fulfilling the Scriptures, how they are following the Word of the Lord, how it's being applied to their life. And so we see this and how beautiful that is. So I want you to, as well, turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 32. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own.
Anybody hear what we just read?
Let's read it again. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Meaning, if I had something and my brother is in need, it's in common. It's not mine. It's not my own. But so if it's not my own, I share it with you. I give it away when it's time to, when it's needful to give it away. I share when it's need that I share. I won't ever forget this message. Our choir sung years ago at a revival service at Bethel Baptist Church in Aiken. This was a long time ago. And the preacher that was preaching the revival, I don't remember his name, but I've never forgot this story. And I probably have shared it at some time or another. But he talked about how he had this Jeep that he really loved. And it was a Jeep he had wanted. He had wanted that thing for a good while. And when he got it, he was so thankful. And he said, one day, I think his wife called him or something. I don't know if, I think he was out of town preaching or somewhere, and she called him and said, somebody stole your Jeep last night. And that preacher said it this way. He said, I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, somebody stole your Jeep last night. And you probably need to find it and get it back. But you see the mindset. I always have thought about what that preacher said. Because the reality is, anything that I have is a blessing, and it's really not my own. And if it is my own, I probably need to give it up. You see, the reality is, the Bible teaches that He is the one who gives us the power to even get wealth. The principle of the tithe that sometimes people struggle over, that 10% belongs to the Lord. I would argue the Bible does say that, but the reality is 100% of it belongs to the Lord, and He allows me to operate my life off 90% of it. That's biblical. But that's why when tithes and offerings, if He wants and He moves upon me to do beyond that, I know that He will return unto me many more times than I could ever give away. All these catchy sayings. One man said, He'll give it to you if He can get it through you. It belongs to Him. Put up Matthew 6 for me again. I've already quoted it, but I want to look at it again. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to ask you today, where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Are you living your life with closed fists? Or are you living your life with open hands?
Where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall it flow back into your life? But really, the real issue is that very last thing, where your treasure is, there's your heart also. So I ask you today, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Father, in the name of Jesus, that's what you're concerned with. Everything about our life is really a heart issue. That's what it boils down to. Where is our heart? I want to thank you, Lord, that your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. That, Lord, that as we live an obedient life, as we live a life that observes you and your word, and I'm thankful, Lord, that you have put us in a position, God, of blessing. But God, I pray today that we would understand the power of living in your blessing. Living in the power of the blessed. And the power of blessing. And I pray, God, that we'd understand that it's ultimately our hearts that you're concerned with. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.